Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, and yes, we do have a new panelist on the show today. So let's start off with Dr. Joel Schultz, retired as a police chief, and thanks so much for being on the show. Wrote a lot of articles that we've covered for years on Leo Roundtable. It's a pleasure to have him on the show. And this next guy, Von Kleem, needs no introduction. We've actually been covering a lot of his stuff from For Science for quite a while as well. So, thank you for being on the show and welcome. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, Von. And I know you got dressed up, and I appreciate you raising the standard for the show. Next time you see me, I'll probably have to throw on a collared shirt is what you'll see. So, but thanks for being on the show. Great. And anything you have going on, I want you to feel, you know, comfortable. So, but welcome to the show. Anything you want to mention real quick before we get to the sponsors for the show?
No. Well, hey, I just want to say thanks for having me. I watched your show quite a bit, and thanks for covering so many of the Four Science articles as they come out. I know you guys actually do a pretty critical look at them, which I appreciated. I know for a while that your guests were red teaming some of my articles. I love that, because I'm just like, right? Looking at, yeah. I mean, we have a rule: the audience is never wrong. So that was good stuff. But for the most part, yeah, you guys have done a fantastic job of pushing that stuff out. So I thank you for that.
Oh well, we appreciate you do. You know, it's especially after having gone through COVID and realizing how important real science is. And getting the message out there. And a lot of things are just about, you know, education. You know, a lot of times, even with us, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And so so everything from, and a lot of people call it the 21-foot rule, which I'm sure probably, you know, it bothers me, but you know, people, but anyhow, you know, it's important information to have, because, you know, some of the stuff that you guys do can actually save people's lives when they can appreciate the science and they have the knowledge of what's going down. So yeah, so it's and now we have a great audience. We can reach a lot of people, which is really nice. And yeah, we get emails and contacted from police chiefs and sheriffs from all over the country and grunt level officers. And a lot of officers will contact us and they'll send me a personal email saying, hey, thank you so much for covering what I did, my use of force. My agency has turned their back on me. They're hanging me out to dry. And you guys, you know, backed me up and everything that I did. And now the light's changing, you know, so yeah. I get it.
Yeah, the pendulum's switching, that's for sure. And still a lot of officers out there not getting the support they need. I mean, we just came back from the Wounded Blue. You talked about Randy Sutton, having him on your show. There's officers that are getting the it's a, sort of the Order of the Blue Cross, right? It's just really recognizing them for heroism and bravery and running towards the sound of gunshots. But agencies these days don't want to give medals when officers shoot and kill people, right? It's just, they don't think it's going to be received well. I mean, and Colonel Grossman talked a lot about that validation of heroism is critically important for mental health. I mean, you not only did you do what you were trained to do ethically, morally, and tactically, but we're going to recognize that, right? And so when we strip that of them, or strip that from them, we're actually not doing as much as we can to sort of protect them after the critical incident. So Wounded Blue did a great job of that. You know, to your point, there's still agencies still not getting it.
I totally agree. Well, guys, let me go ahead and go through the sponsors real quick, and then we got some main stories that are going to be pretty spectacular here. So, look, thanks to our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. We also have Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. We got on satellite radio May 5th, thanks to them. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our armed sponsor. We have Gunlearn.com, our Medicare.live safeguard recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And, yes, we're reaching over a million followers right now on social media through the stream on the live show. TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, so you can get cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing. And it's, guys, we don't charge extra. I don't make a dime off of anything that is in that store. We're just trying to get our gear on people's backs and wearing our stuff and getting it out there. So we appreciate your support. It helps spread the word about the show. FishOrlandoBass.com. Now, Vaughn has probably not heard about this. This might intrigue you a little bit, Vaughn. I can by the looks of you, I can tell that part of the story is gonna intrigue you. So there's a guy named Zach, and he has a bass fishing charter, but it's in the Orlando area. So when you're going to Orlando with the wife and the kids, or even maybe the grandkids, I always say, keep the car in gear, the foot on the brake, let the wife and the kids go, let them have a great time at Disney, because you've got options now. Hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing charter at fishorlandobass.com, or Vaughn, you can go alligator hunting. And yeah, this is Florida. Don't forget. Yeah, alligator hunting. So it's not, you're not killing anything, but you're catching and relocating alligators. Cause you know, here in Florida, you know, we get alligators outside my front door. They come in my garage if I don't close it down all the way. I mean, you know, and then you gotta catch and release, or what we call relocate, you know, especially those nuisance alligators, you know. So anyhow, it's a lot of fun. And I'm just throwing it out there. If people haven't been to fishorlandobass.com, you have options when you're going to Disney, and it's all good. And that's without even mentioning Disney in like a political statement. And shout out to Brian Birch with the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com. And finally, Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. Now, guys, we've got some really wild stuff that we're going to be talking about today. We've got a story that's in the news right now, and it is just, we're going to be talking about this story for days, and I don't know how long we're going to be talking about it, but it's going to be a while. So I'm going to go and we're going to start off talking about this main story. You know, it came out, the news cycle was so late yesterday that only Fox News was carrying exclusively. It was kind of hard to find, but at foxnews.com, Jack Smith tracked private communications and calls of nearly a dozen GOP senators during the January 6th probe, FBI says. This is monumental stuff. I think that there's going to be more stuff coming down down the pike on this thing. We haven't heard everything. And now I've heard that there's a whistleblower involved, singular. I suspect that there's probably more than one. So look, we're going to get more in depth in this tomorrow. We're going to have a couple of our Secret Service guys on. I'm trying to get a hold of one of our FBI guys as well to dissect this, but want to cover it this morning, even if it's just briefly. And in an exclusive, former special counsel Jack Smith was allegedly tracking the private communications, this bothers me so much, and phone calls of nearly a dozen Republican senators as part of his investigation to the January 6, 2021 Capitol riots. And this is all according to Fox News Digital. Now, a document reviewed by Fox News Digital, it revealed that Smith and his Arctic Frost team, we've talked about that investigation before, investigating the January 6th people that were allegedly tracked the phone calls of GOP senators, and it's Lindsey Graham, Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Graham, of course, of South Carolina, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Joss Hawley, Missouri, Cynthia Loomis, Wyoming, Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, Dan Sullivan of Alaska, and Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. And also, there's a GOP representative in the House, Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. They did this to all these guys. You know, they've got to be completely livid, and talk about the weaponization of the FBI. This is just like the next step. How in the world do you justify this? How are people not going to go to jail after this? The document recently discovered by FBI Director Kash Patel and exclusively obtained by Fox News Digital is titled Cast Assistance, dated September 27th, 2023. So not that long ago. Cast refers to the FBI Cellular Analysis Survey Team, and that's what they were doing. The document has the names of FBI agents involved that have been redacted. It marks the case ID as Arctic Frost, Election Law Matter, Sensitive Investigation Matter, Cast. It goes on to say that it states the names of lawmakers, and that an FBI special agent on Smith's team conducted preliminary toll analysis in the toll records associated with the lawmakers. So they were getting records on who they were getting calls from, who they're calling, other information. And the FBI official told Fox News Digital that Smith and his team tracking the senators, they were able to see which phone numbers they called, location that the call originated from, location where it was received, just all kinds of data. And the calls were likely in reference to the vote to certify the 2020 election. An official said the records were collected in 2023 by Smith and his team after subpoenaing major telephone providers. So they issued a subpoena to get the information. And Arctic Frost, well, give us the date. Arctic Frost was actually open in April of 2022, and Smith was appointed as special counsel to take over the probe in November, roughly, you know, 6 months later. So we've got less than a minute left before we take our first commercial break. But that is the breaking news story. Bon, you want to start us off on this? You've got about roughly 30 seconds here.
Yeah, well, I worked a lot of the intel world when I was over at the Pentagon and one of my criminal terrorism investigations unit. And there, when you look at any authority to do this type of investigation, you're going to have a predicate. And it's going to be really curious what authority they relied on and whether they met that predicate. And the problem with the predicate is oftentimes if it's a manufactured predicate and you don't know as the investigator that those above you are the ones who created the probable cause or the reasonable suspicion or whatever your legal standard is, then you're going to move forward in good faith, conducting an investigation into potential official misconduct and have no idea.
Perfect timing, Vaughn. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources, especially when you consider going online, right? I mean, the possibilities are almost endless. But I want to remind everybody about what really is important here. Support the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations, and I mean dozens, like this radio show. So when you're going to select a sponsor or going to get gear from somebody, please consider going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a gift card or a gift code in order to get 15% off your next purchase, and that is Radio 15. So when you go to Gauls.com, type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase. That's an amazing opportunity, guys. Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, my favorite product they have is called the glove. It has helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3, the hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And if you go there, don't forget to watch those cool videos. You'll even see Dan Dela Cruz, one of our panelists on there, that's demonstrating the glove. And it's an amazing opportunity to see the glove in action. ComplianTechnologies.com. We'll see you there. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz, and we've also got Attorney Vaughn Kleem. And I forgot that you're an attorney, too, and you've got law enforcement experience. Yeah, I did check you out a little bit, Vaughn. So, yeah.
Yeah, my friends say he's a cop with a law degree. Then I shed a little bit of a tear. The ones that call me an attorney right out the gate, one, I know I don't know them very well. because they know, like, I still bleed blue, but yeah, I am an attorney. That's true. I was actually a special assistant U.S. attorney for a while, and a prosecutor and a senior prosecutor. So I can't even say I didn't actually practice law, because I actually did practice law for quite a while. But yeah, just stick with cop with a law degree, and you'll make me happy.
Perfect. Well, and let me just, for the clarification for the listeners on the show and for your potential fan base, because now you've already got people typing messages to you, as long as it just doesn't take away from what Chief Schultz has and what he probably won't complain, but you were never a public defender. Is that correct?
No, I was never a public defender. I got to be honest with you, though. Listen, I came into this, I had a plaque on my wall. It said the law requires us to presume a man is innocent because common sense says he probably isn't. But wow. But that was my prosecutor self. What I've learned now is, think about this. All these cops involved in shootings, they need good criminal defense attorneys. And so those criminal defense attorneys who are just cutting their teeth, when it comes time, the ones we hate the most, by the way, when it comes time to needing somebody to defend us after a shooting, that's who we turn to. So I've actually developed some really good relationship with public defenders, with private attorneys who do criminal defense work.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah, it's they are because you know, look, the human performance stuff on these use of force, they apply in civil cases, they apply or civilian cases just as much, and we're constantly saying, you know, cops are humans behind a badge, right? But the concept of human performance apply to them just like it does to the civilians. But I have actually been involved in I had a case where a guy confessed to a murder during a drug rip. So he was a civilian gang member, did a drug rip, guys got killed. He confessed to the murder, and we looked at that case. The public defender got a hold of us. We looked at that case and proved that that guy did not kill anybody. The forensic evidence, and
he thought he did.
What's that?
He thought that he did?
No, he never fired a gun. He was just the lowest guy on the gang rung and was told he was going to take it. But I was proud to be involved in that, you know, but at the same time, I never lost sight of who the client was, for sure.
Well, guys, on this first story here involving, you know, the cell phone data of not just anybody, you know, these are our legislators. More commentary on this. Not that I want to spend a lot of time. We're really going to cover this in depth tomorrow. But I know, Chief, I think that you wanted to weigh in on this.
You know, sometimes you hear about somebody with a brain tumor, and the neurosurgeon says, we're going to damage so many things trying to get to that tumor. And that's the way this web of cases appears to me. You know, you start reading about all the stuff that Jack Smith was in, and you say, wait a minute, this is the Mar-a-Lago document case. This was the election interference case. This is the January 6th thing. And then it branches off into what Merrick Garland, you know, was up to in some of his stances. And it is a web. I hope I live another 50 years just so I can see what history says about this last decade in politics. It's quite a web, really fascinating.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. Hey, I've got two stories that I want to cover quickly. And look, we'll get more information about this tomorrow. And, you know, this is the point in the article when the story's just breaking, and it just broke. Even at this time yesterday, it wasn't breaking yet. So there's going to be so much more information over the next 24-hour cycle. So we'll have more information, and we'll have some federal partners, you know, talking about it as well tomorrow on the show. But I do want to talk about Chicago and Portland. Unless, did you have something else you want to throw in there, Chief, before we move on?
No, I'm just going to say, Smith's not going to come out good on this. He's never won anything in his career anyway.
All right. Well, we will definitely keep you guys. And remember, the people that watch the show, we want you to be among the smartest people in the room when these topics come up. We want to have you guys, we want you guys to be up to speed on the latest news, and we are going to give you the law enforcement twist on it. We don't make any apologies for that. That's all by design. So look, this next one here, Trump and the National Guard going to Chicago. But look, there's so much going on. I'm just going to cover the main titles because this is all going down lately. And I thought that we were moving on from Chicago, but no, the governor and the mayor have dug in. So these are some of the most recent news articles. You know, Trump administration moves to federalize 300 Illinois National Guard troops. And then we have an armed woman that was shot by ICE in Chicago amid violent protests. National Guard called up, rams a car into one of their vehicles and stuff. Then we have Chicago police chief banned cops from helping ICE officers under attack. And then the story was changing on whether or not that had happened or not, right? Then we have the Illinois Governor Pritzker dismisses propaganda. And that was interesting as DHS alleges the ambush of ICE agents near Chicago. Illinois and Chicago file a lawsuit trying to block Trump and federal National Guard deployment. The ICE director, Lyons, reports an uptick in threats from cartels, blast Chicago police for standing down order, which they denied. Then Chicago Mayor Johnson's ICE freeze zones. So ICE freeze zones means that it draws fire. Critics say police shields violent criminals, but it's saying that the cops can't show up at locations under Chicago's control for staging or really to do anything. I mean, he doesn't even want them showing up to get a glass of water. Mayor Brandon Johnson signs an ICE-free zone executive order along the lines of what I just said, prohibiting use of city property for federal immigration operations. So there you have it. That's what's going down in Chicago. Guys, any predictions? Is this going to get any better anytime soon? Or are we going to continue to go down the rabbit hole on this? And is it just a standoff between the governor and the mayor? Is there going to be any wiggle room, any change in anytime soon? Or the cops, I know, I have to feel that the cops involved, they just want to help the federal partners out, and they want to do police work. They just want to do what they love to do and why they took the job. And I can't help but feel like their hands are being tied right now. Vaughn, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it's going to last. I don't think it's tenable. This is not the right administration for them to take this stand against. But I do like that they're exposing themselves. They're advertising quite loudly who they are and what they support. And I think I appreciate that kind of clarity. But I think they're going to find this country is another 80-20 issue, and they are on the wrong side of it. So,
well, guys, another commercial break snuck in on me, so let me throw this in real quick. Commercial break. We will be right back. All right, guys, now introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship on the realm of duty rifles. And, yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision, they demand perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less, but you can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Attorney Vaughn Kleem. I got to ask you, Vaughn, is that the original Red Bull that you're drinking, or have you been like going through them, emptying them, and grabbing fresh ones?
No, this is the same one. I started, yeah. I had one before the gym this morning, so this is the second one of the day.
Wow. But, wow, dude, you're my new hero, dude. Handle two. Wow.
Yeah, well, if you guys go to the gym and grab them off the shelf, you're looking at like 200 milligrams of caffeine per can. But these Red Bulls are much, much more sane in the amount of caffeine they dump in at one sitting. So,
and that's not a huge can, I don't think, either, you know. So
No, this is fine. It's fully leaded too, so there's gonna be a little bit of calories in this one.
So we left off, gentlemen, talking about and Vaughn, you said something interesting about the pendulum swinging back. So I know, you know, we started off the show talking about the FBI being, you know, weaponized, but now we're talking about like GOP senators and a House rep. But now we're talking about, you know, the National Guard, you know, going into Chicago. And you know what, let me just throw in, you know, the other article too. Let me just get to the main three. New York Post and Tampa FP.com, the free press. Federal judge blocks Trump admin from sending troops into Portland. Feds are unleashing mason tear gas at anti-ICE agitators. And then Trump, so the judge blocks Trump from sending in the National Guard, the Portland National Guard, right? So they get creative and they go to California and they nationalize the California National Guard. They federalize them and send them over. And then the judge, you know, the female judge that I believe was a Biden appointee, throws a gasket. And it's Oregon versus Trump. State sues to block President Trump's troop deployment to Portland. And the federal judge blocks out-of-state National Guard deployment to Portland and all that drama going. You got to admit, the difference between Trump 1.0 and 2.0, it's just like ridiculous, right? I mean, yeah. He definitely has got the right people in the right place. Information is not leaking out, and he's really schooling the judges. And they're getting overturned by appellate courts and by Supreme Court justices as well. So this is just I wake up every day and I can't wait to read the news cycle and see what's happened while I slept. It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, what's amazing about this, or what was curious to me. So when I was in the military, I was the Defense Support to Civil Authorities legal advisor. That's the DISCA legal advisors. And what that meant was I was the one who had to know the law relative to how you can use federal National Guard troops domestically and then when I was at the Pentagon, I ended up working at both the Intel Law Division, but also I was the senior domestic operational law attorney answering these questions. So if there's a terrorist attack or something in the U.S., what can the military do with in light of Posse Comitatus? What can they do in light of federal authorities, military authorities? So when all this started ramping up and Trump started talking about using the National Guard or federal troops domestically, all these bells and whistles started going off. And I was listening to the news cycle. He has such broad authority to use the military in support of any federal mission, not just military missions. So I haven't looked at this state of the law as deeply as I did when I was stationed at the Pentagon, but I will tell you this, there was no question that if he creates a federal mission, which immigration obviously is a federal mission, he has the authority to use federal troops. And he also has the authority to federalize National Guard units. So all these things that are happening, I saw some guy said in his entire history as a National Guardsman, he's never heard of another state. That's been an authority for decades. That has been happening for a long time. Usually it'll even happen at the state level, state to state National Guard, because they'll do these interstate compacts where they just agree to use each other's forces. But once they're federalized, once those National Guard troops are federalized, they can be used in support of any federal mission. And I'm going to just predict that the Supremacy Clause is going to win out. The federal law will trump state law, and the state cannot do anything to lawfully impede the federal mission. So there's going to be a lot of tension between separation of powers. There's going to be a lot of tension between our federalist organizational structure. But as far as the actual authorities go, I think they're going to be on pretty solid ground for what they're doing.
Oh, interesting insight. Thank you, Dr. Schultz.
Yeah, I think Von's absolutely right. I think our executive will prevail. I don't mind this stuff being ground out and litigated, because we really don't, as a democratic society, want to just roll over and say, okay, we got federal troops in the neighborhood, it's no big deal, because it can be a prelude to an abuse of power. So I'm not as afraid as some of the parties in government and spokespeople who say, they're just trying to get us used to federal troops so that Trump can run for a third term and take over. We need to be vigilant. So let's watch that stuff. I don't mind the court stuff. The other thing is, if you're going to call something an insurrection, from the 1807 Insurrection Act, if you're going to call something an insurrection, that's usually something that just comes up right away. Like, that should have been invoked in 2020 during the George Floyd riots in several places and just wasn't. But the disorder that has crept up eventually, gradually in some of these cities has made us so used to it. It's the boiling frog kind of example, even though that's fiction, but the metaphor makes sense. I've ridden with Portland. I've ridden with Chicago. I've ridden with Seattle. Portland just makes me sad. Such a beautiful city that has just become a dump. I was out there in the 2020 riots. As you know, Chip, I'm like some people like to chase tornadoes. I like to go to riots. It was just sad. The officer that I was with was actually an attorney as well. I always say, okay, how does the shotgun rack work? If I need to help you, what's your radio number, that kind of stuff. And he said, well, we're not carrying shotguns in the patrol car because the car might be stolen, overtaken, and we don't want them to have a weapon. I'm like, that's just no way to run a city. Did Portland really become a place where there was an insurrection? I think so. Because the city is, it's being run by the asylum is being run by the inmates there. It's a sad situation, but somebody needed to do something. It's sad that it had to be the White House, but somebody needed to do something.
Agreed. Well, gentlemen, are you ready to cover a story with a video component?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we've got some interesting stuff here. We got 3.5 minutes before we take our next commercial break. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. LAPD officers, they shoot a knife-wielding suspect after a call of an assault with a deadly weapon.
Step on over here. Put your hands on top of your head.
Let's go, Luke. Hands up.
Hands on top of your head.
For what?
Turn around.
Hey.
Turn around.
Just turn around. Put your hands on top of your head. We'll tell you how we can. Turn around. Wait for us. Hands on top of your head.
There you go. Don't move.
Right. 46, 46.
it back.
What was it doing?
So let's see how this thing goes down. And we're going to be in California. So Montecito, I believe is the pronunciation. Correct me if I'm wrong. Heights, California. The officers end up being summoned at 8:20 p.m. in the evening on Friday to a residence. They're investigating a call of an assault with a deadly weapon with a suspect that's still at the scene, according to the Los Angeles Police Department. So it says that the comments of the caller indicated that the suspect, later identified as a 22-year-old baggy named Brian Guzman, he threatened the person reporting with a knife. And so the officers, they get there, they find the person that made the report. And he told them where Guzman, the suspect, was outside of a vehicle. So Guzman allegedly pulls a knife as the officers attempt to take him into custody. And that's when he ends up getting shot by one or more of the officers. I believe it was a male and female. Guzman was struck by the gunfire, falls to the ground, taken into custody. And he's in stable condition at the hospital. They recovered a 12-inch knife. Going to my show notes here, I've got at 5 minutes and 41 seconds, when they move in to arrest this guy, he acts like he's initially being compliant. And I think it's important. I think there's a, you know, I think that there's a benefit from people learning from this, you know, because the guy seems compliant at first, but then he suddenly produces this knife, turns around towards the officers. I got to admit that I was kind of impressed that they didn't wait for this guy. I mean, Vaughn, and you know, and Vaughn can explain how the proximity and the closeness of like body cams and in the distance is not necessarily accurately reflected in these things. It's kind of hard to tell the distance, but I'm, you know, the guy definitely could have been within striking distance if there was any hesitancy on the part of the officers and stuff. And then they do slow motion versions from each body cam, which I really liked as well. Vaughn, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, well, I'm not seeing the video, but I can tell you the you're right. What you can expect in most, especially if it's a body cam video, is what you're seeing would have appeared closer to the officer. The things on a body cam appear to be further than what the officer or the human involved in that interaction would have perceived it. So that's a solid assumption when you're looking at the video.
Yeah. And for people watching the show for the first time, so on a live show, we don't show videos on live shows. Just too many things can go wrong. So we have two different types of show, a live show and then a produced show. So the live show is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. So Monday through Friday, and then Tuesday through Saturday, at 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll take the whole live show. Producer will grab it and he'll embed the live video, the videos that we're talking about. He'll, every time we talk about live video, he'll actually insert that portion of the action into that copy of the show from the day before. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. And that goes live at 9 o'clock Eastern time, Tuesday through Saturday. So unless you really want to watch the live show, and there's benefits because you're getting it fast, the produced version of the show that comes out the next morning on the Rumble channel, it's an amazing, it's a one-stop shop. Everything is right there and it shows everything. So, but I can see that we're about 15 seconds out from taking our next commercial break. So hold that thought, Chief. I apologize that Vaughn Kleem took up all the airtime, and we're commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. So if you haven't been to GunLearn.com, you guys really should. And the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and attorney Vaughn Kleem. And, you know, guys, we left off talking about a use of force involving, you know, the usual, the cop and the bad guy. Vaughn, I know that you were talking about it. I know Chief Schultz is going to be going after you, but final words on that, Vaughn Kleem? You just muted your mic, Vaughn. Chief, why don't you go ahead and jump in?
Yeah, I'd say three things about this incident. First of all, I wish we had time to give some testimony to Forest Science Institute. It saved a guy's life. Information I knew about is he was involved in a shooting, was being prosecuted, and was thinking about taking his own life. And I called him up and shared some stuff from FSI, and he came out okay on that deal. But anyway, on this shooting. First of all, there's the peril of false surrender that you addressed, and that we see that in several cases. And FSI expert, I could yield to him. The problem with that false surrender is the difference in the body chemistry processing between the suspect and the perpetrator. So if the perpetrator says, okay, I'm surrendering, then there's a relaxing that should not happen, and then the secondary attack comes about. So false surrender is a real problem. The second thing is, I don't know why they didn't, and I see this in a lot of these videos, the cops should say early on, you are under arrest, and that imposes a statutory obligation for compliance. But for some reason, a lot of cops don't do that. Hey, I want to stop you. You're not under arrest. You're just being detained. You're under arrest, and so you've got to comply. That's my opinion. The third thing is, there's that bystander who was actually the reporting party, and this happens so often. They call, they want the police there, and then when the police start doing police stuff, they become agitated and can become another threat. So you must be on my side because you called on your cousin or your brother. Not necessarily. They can turn very quickly and become an adversary.
Thanks, Von Kleem.
Yeah, no, I picked up most of that. Sorry, my headphones cut out on me. But yes, in terms of presumed compliance, this becomes a thing where when cops are doing threat assessments, we base it on training, education, experience, and reasonable inferences. And I couch that as, what do cops know that the layman might not know? And we hear things like, I can't breathe, or ouch, ouch, ouch. We know that feigning compliance is a tactical SOP, right, for bad guys, to let you get your guard down. And we have videos after videos of cops being killed because of presumed compliance, because the guy's engaged in a tactical SOP of feigning compliance. So that's why our tactics have to reflect that. The problem with that is, you get into, from a human factor standpoint, socio-technical human factors analysis, which is, what is the effect of law and sort of the activism? I don't want to use hyper-technical terms, the protests, the activisms, the anti-police narrative in the country, where officers start to hesitate, not because they're not tactically sound, but because they're worried about the blowback. They don't have the support necessary to, what the law allows, gain immediate, unquestioned command to their authority. Like, people hate that concept out West. But the case came out of Brenlin v. California, which has said the police must maintain unquestioned command at the scene of investigations, right? So that's the first thing. We have this idea now where cops are hesitating to take unquestioned command because it's too alpha, right? They don't want to use alpha commands. They want to use beta commands. They want to make it sound like a question, like Dr. Schultz was talking about. Instead of just saying, you're under arrest, do not move, it's like, hey, can I get you to stop for me for a second? Which sounds much nicer. It's part of our de-escalation training, right? It's that sort of oblique way of communicating to get cooperation, but it doesn't set sometimes the sense of sincerity or the official nature of the contact. So there's a lot we could talk about on this, but the one thing is, training, education, experience, and reasonable inferences. Just because somebody is presumed to comply, says okay, I'm not going to hurt you, I'll stop, whatever the case may be, cops know that that does not mean they are safe. And they still have to engage in tactical SOPs to reflect that reality. Case up in Michigan recently, everybody saw that. The guy took off running from the cop, turned around. He's like, okay. He's got his hand up. If you can't see him, I've got my hand up. As he starts to squat down in an apparent surrender, but he has his hand behind his back, and he comes forward with a two-handed grip and fires at the officer very, very fast. And so what's good about that is the officer survived. But what is also good is the community gets to see what cops already knew, which is bad guys have tactical SOPs too. They feign compliance in order to get killed.
I got to admit that I'm not a fan of telling cops or telling bad guys in advance they're being arrested, because because they have, if they don't want to go to jail, now they know they're going to jail. And, you know, a lot of these guys feel like, what do I got to lose at this point? They're going to fight. And I can tell you from practical experience, though, like many bad guys that I arrested didn't know they were going to go to jail until they were handcuffed. And they thought that I was handcuffing them for my own safety. Nothing says that I have to completely forthcoming with that information.
Yeah. So you got to, I think here's what, this is a good learning point and a good class. An entire day could be spent on it, but I will tell you this from a legal standpoint and a tactical standpoint, and then later what I call law-driven tactics, how we can best defend you after the fact. When you tell them they're under arrest, their behavior can be interpreted in a very different light, having communicated that to them. When you say, do not move, and then they move, you can infer malevolent, malicious intent, right? Particularly if you think they're on, rather than if you never tell them not to move and they're moving around and you're still seeing the same potential danger, but you can't necessarily have that same the same strength of inference because you didn't tell them not to move, sort of thing. So there's legal strength in and a tactical strength in saying do not move or you're under arrest, because it changes the context with which your orders are being given and their requirements to obey them, to I think Dr. Schultz's point. The other thing
you
is
can
we
say,
had a case-
you can say don't move without saying yeah. You're under arrest. Like even they were, even the bad guy was asking and they were refusing to tell him until he was handcuffed, you know, that what they were going to do with him, why they wanted to handcuff him. Cause they knew that once he finds out, if he doesn't want to go to jail, if he thinks he's just getting handcuffs on and they're going to talk to him, cut him loose, you know, but he wanted to know, but he didn't get the info.
Yeah, you're right. And so here's the thing, tactics, there's no single tactical solution. There's only tactical options. And the officer at the scene is weighing risk, benefits, and trade-offs. This is a constant thing we have to testify to understand, because we have experts come in and say, any reasonable officer would have known, you don't tell people they're under arrest. Any reasonable officer, and we look at him and go, hold on a second. The officer at the scene, sort of like in rugby, the ball carrier is not wrong. Whether he passes or maintains possession of the ball, he's not wrong, because he's seeing things. He's reading the scene. He knows the distance. So if the guy is 50 feet in front of you, you say you're under arrest, well, you just primed him to run from you. Right. And as an FTO, you'd be like, dude, what are you doing, man? Don't tell a guy he's under arrest when he's 50 feet away. Right. And to your point, there could be other tactical advantages to delaying that. But more so, the other side of the coin is, if they're not under arrest, how critical is it to tell them that, hey, right now you're not under arrest, I'm just going to put you in handcuffs for my safety, sort of thing. And cops know this, because, again, we're setting the context. We're engaging in de-escalation. We're engaging in persuasion. We're giving them that last glimmer of hope, Chip, because this was a big case in that Atlanta case, the Rayshard Brooks case. They never told him he was under arrest. And so I had to explain in a 200-page report why sometimes it makes sense for an officer to not utter those words. Other times it makes perfect sense to utter it. So I would never want to leave the audience with this idea that there is one right answer here. It is very context-based, and it does matter whether you have probable cause to arrest them, because you don't want to tell a guy to arrest him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, there's a lot there.
Technical. I mean,
yeah. Don't worry about those little legal things.
Yeah.
But also in the chaos, when you've got a lot of excited parties, and perhaps somebody that's mentally ill or impaired, let's not say don't move, put your hands on top of your head. Which one of those things do you want me to do? So, you know, we know what we mean. They may not know what we mean.
Or show me your hands, and you got them in your pocket, and you've got it. You know, now you tell them to basically pull the gun or the knife out of their pocket, you know, and then you freak out when they do that, you know. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Your audience should be reading. If you're not, it's free. Force Science News. Go to Force Science News. Go to forcescience.com, sign up for Force Science News. We don't sell your email, but what's important about that is I wrote an article called Rethinking Show Me Your Hands. It's precisely on point. And I do a lot of these articles that operationalize some of these issues and these research issues. We look at time out of assault. We look at tacticalists like pre-attack indicators, pre-threat indicators. And we say, hold on, if you tell somebody, show me your hands, you have just camouflaged pre-attack indicators, because compliance now looks just like an assault. Right. If the guy intends to pull the knife or pull the gun, you say, show me your hands. The elbow comes up, the hand comes out.
Good
and
point.
Now you've actually camouflaged some of the indicators you would actually want to rely on. So that's a great point, Chip. And we talk about those.
Another great, great show, gentlemen. I'm going to get up a banner for you and for Forest Science. So remind me to do that. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out of the world or hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So please check them out, guys. Consider supporting that wonderful organization. Thank you so much to Chief Joel Schultz and Attorney Von Kleem for being on the show. Guys, want to mention our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this content to you. Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunner.com, and Medicare.life. Safer Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.